Colossians chapter 3, we begin this new study today, desiring God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. I've asked you to pray for me, or I've been asking you to pray for me concerning this new series. And you say, I've prayed that God would change me. Because I've known for a long time I can't give anyone else something that I do not have. And God has done that and is doing that. He's not finished yet. He's given me a renewed passion, a renewed desire, which is my desire for you. This study is entitled Desiring God. For the next two Sundays, we're going to talk on this subject, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. And it's all about, what do you want from God? Desiring God. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 1, would you stand with me? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again, we approach your throne of grace. Father, I pray for these, your people, that you will open hearts, that we will deal honestly and openly with you as we go through this study, and that, Lord, we would desire the right things. Father, we love you. And Lord, we commend this service to you. We lay this service at your feet and pray your will be done. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Oh, I remember church growing up. If you're like me, you were raised in church. If you're not like me, I guess you weren't, but for me, I was raised in church. I grew up in this little country church, and every Sunday morning, we'd put on our Sunday clothes and we would go to this little country church. Once we arrived at church, they did not have coffee waiting on us. I can't imagine worship without coffee. They didn't have a projector to put things on the wall so the pastor could put his sermon notes on the wall. They didn't have that. Did not have a praise team. And I mean, the music director wore overalls. And we sang songs that came from this thing that, if you're younger, you probably do not know what this is. It was called a hymn book. I still remember in the old Baptist hymns a lot of the numbers. The old red Baptist hymnal that I grew up with. Hymn number 377. Hymn number 9. Standing on the promises. And the pastor. You see, the pastor of that little country church, the name of the church, of course, Judson Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, the pastor of that church, get up and he'd preach, and he had no degree. Didn't have anything hanging on the wall that said, Doctor. And he used the King James Bible. with all the these and the thous and the everything else that goes along with it. Now today, it's a little different. We preachers have our seminary degrees. We keep our outline, or we put our outline up on the wall so you can follow along to know how close we are to getting finished. We're very conscientious to put the scripture text up on the wall so you don't have to bother to carry a Bible to church anymore. I mean, after all, who wants to keep up with an old Bible? We're more advanced than that. Now we have our Bibles on our phones and all that. I fear that we've made worship today so easy that people don't have to try anymore. And I think the result is that church that I grew up in is very different than churches today. You see, that church that I grew up in, people wanted to come to church. They viewed it as a blessing to gather together and worship. Now today, we beg members to come to church. 50 years ago, people would go to church, they would be preached to, they would take what they were given, and they would apply it to their lives, and they would practice their faith Monday through the rest of the week, Monday through Saturday, Sunday through Saturday. They would put it into practice. Now our churches are filled with people who, well, quite honestly, you can't tell whether they attend church or whether they do not, because they live like the world. In the past, I remember great revivals. Have you ever attended a really, really great revival where people were saved? The saved repented and came back. God moved. You see, that was what was happening in the days of the no coffee hymn book, overall wearing music director, preacher with no degree days. That's what happened. And today, with all the benefits, if you will, our altars are empty, our baptistry is dry, and if someone actually comes down to the altar to pray, we think, wow, I wonder what they did. Well, you may have noticed this morning, I didn't put scripture on the wall. There's no outline in the bulletin, nor will there be for a while. I want to ask you in the days that lie ahead to please bring your Bible, not your phone to church, but your Bible to church. You see, you can't make notes on a phone like you can a Bible. I don't know, maybe, you know, your kids are saying, no, Brother Doug, I can do it. Listen, bring your Bible. We are a Bible-believing church. We teach what's in this Bible. And I want to get us to the point where we actually learn what's in this Bible again. I mean, after all, you may say, but Brother Doug, nobody knows where Habakkuk is. Amos, Joel, nobody can find those things. We're going to work on that. You know, I remember growing up, people, it didn't matter what book you preached out of, they'd be there before the preacher was. Because they knew. My friends, we got to get that back. And it starts with desire. An honest longing for God. In the text, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, and first thing I want to call your attention to is that word, if. That word, if, it's used to confirm a condition that's already been settled. And if's kind of misleading in the in the translation there, perhaps it would be better if it was since. And I think there are some translations who translate that, since you were raised with Christ. You see, I'm proceeding forward under the idea that most of you have taken care of being saved. Right? That most of you, at some point in your life, you cried out to Jesus knowing that you were a sinner and called upon Him for forgiveness of sins, making Him the Lord of your life. So, for you, it would say, since you have been saved. And since you have been saved, understand there are expectations. I know that's almost a word you don't use in churches today. That there are expectations. But there are expectations in being a child of God today. And it's not the expectations that you might think. The expectation... It's not that everybody here should keep the nursery one Sunday a month. Doesn't say that. The expectation is, it's not that you serve at least 1 year out of two on a committee in the church. The expectation is not even that you attend every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and anything in between that we have going on. That's not even the expectation here. Even though you really should. The expectation is this. You see, if we'll fix this, we'll get the other stuff right. The expectation is, since you were raised with Christ, what? Seek those things which are above. That's God's expectation of you and of me. That's what God asked you to do. And when it says seek, we're talking about desire. And that word means to strive for and to desire with a longing. Have you ever wanted something really, really bad? Amen. Okay. I hope so. When I was a young man, I just started taking banjo lessons. My dad loved music. He loved bluegrass music. I mean, he really loved it. And so I took two or three banjo lessons, and my dad told me, son, if you will learn to play Foggy Mountain Breakdown on the banjo, we'll get you that truck you've been wanting for so long now. Well, let me tell you, I wanted that truck more than anything in the world. Or I wanted a truck. Didn't have to be new. Didn't have to be that pretty. It just had to have four wheels and a bed. I'm from Desark, right? You know, but I wanted a truck more than anything. And I'd work on the farm and all that, you know. And Daddy had never said, son, if you work on the farm all summer, at the end of the summer, when the crops come in, we'll get your truck. Daddy never said that. He said, son, if you learn to play Foggy Mountain Breakdown on the banjo, we'll get you that truck. You know how long it took me to learn to play Foggy Mountain Breakdown? 2 weeks. Now, if you don't know Foggy Mountain Breakdown, it is a pretty nifty little bluegrass tune, but it requires a pretty good amount of skill. Okay? And I want to tell you, I didn't just learn to pick at it. 2 weeks later, I could pick it like Earl Scruggs picked it, I'll just tell you. Because I knew if I did not, Dad wasn't going to get me that truck. I did not get that, I did not learn to play the banjo because I loved the banjo. I learned to play the banjo because I wanted a truck. You see, if we want something bad enough, we'll do whatever it takes to get it. And we can talk, apply that if we're talking about something in this world or whatever. If we want something bad enough, we'll do whatever it takes to get it. Now, my question to you is, what do you want from God? I'm going to let you chew on that just a minute, give you a moment of silence. What do you want from God and why? See, most people just want the benefits of God. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, nobody wants to go to hell, right? Does anybody here want to go to hell? Please don't. However, to some people, all God is a get out of hell card free, or a get out of hell free card. It's not what God intended. For a lot of people, all that God is a way to get what you want. I mean, you know, we pray, Lord, give me that new job, please. I hate my current job. Please get me out of this mess and get me over into another mess over there. It always winds up that way, right? Even sickness. Have you ever noticed how serious we get with God when we become sick? Oh Lord, my life is being threatened. I may not make it through this. Oh Lord, please deliver me from this illness. Do you realize how shallow and childish of a relationship that is? Listen, I'm not telling you shouldn't pray when you're sick. I'm not telling you shouldn't pray about job situations. That's not the point. I'm just telling you, if all you ever pray about and ask God for are things that benefit you, then you don't understand relationship. And that's what's happened to today's church. Most people don't get it. And the church is at fault because we've done everything to make things so easy and so convenient for people so that they can just show up and they don't ever have to try to do anything. It just, you're just blessed by their presence. That's not who you are as a child of God. And that's not who Victory Missionary Baptist Church is. We're not here to help you be comfortable. We're here to help you grow in Jesus Christ. Okay? I have a 2-year-old grandson. Last weekend, we got to keep that little man. Thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? He's a good little man. Good little boy. And he and I have a special relationship. He wants it, and I get it for him. Pretty much the way it is, right? Well, he has an infatuation with trash trucks. 2 years old, I've never seen a 2-year-old that was so taken by anything. If he sees a trash truck, it just makes his day. So last weekend when we were keeping him, it rained. And it was cold, and so we couldn't really get outside and do anything. So we spent a lot of time inside. And while inside, we'd ask him, what do you want to do? He'd say, trash truck. Well, see, I didn't really know this until last weekend, but you can pull up YouTube and you can watch hours and hours of trash trucks just going down the road. And, you know, they got that arm and they pick up the trash and they go a little farther. They got the arm, they pick up the trash. There's nothing wrong with it. 5 or 10 minutes of it, you're thinking, okay, this is pretty cool. 3 hours later, you're saying, okay, this never changes. We just sat there and he watched trash trucks. So after we had watched an abundance of trash trucks last week, we finally asked him, what do you want to do? He said, watch trash trucks. No, we're going to do something else. And you know what that little rascal did? He cried. I want to watch trash trucks. But that's okay because he's 2. And that's what you do when you're 2. But when he becomes a young man, I expect us to have a different relationship where He appreciates me and I appreciate Him for the fact that He is who He is and the fact that I am who I am. See, I've noticed, and I'm a little more perceptive the older I've become. With grandkids, you deal with them differently according to age. Lila is my oldest grandchild, and I don't deal the same way with her that I deal with Harden. Now, if Lila asks me something and I say, no, we're not going to do that, we don't spend a lot of time discussing it. Nor does she spend a lot of time crying. Why? Because she's a six-year-old. If you're a child of God, and all you ever want of God is what you want, and when you don't get what you want, you back up and you blame God. Well, there must not be a God because He didn't give me what I wanted, or He didn't heal me of my illness, or this happened. If there really was a God, this wouldn't have happened. You don't get it. It's not about what you can get. Listen, if God never gave you anything else other than His Son to pay your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary, He's given you more than enough and more than what you need. You see, the truth about relationships is relationships are a process. Colossians 1:9. Hope, got your Bibles? I forgot, keep them open because we're going to use them, right? And we're going to use them throughout this study. So keep your Bibles. Keep them open, right? Colossians 1:9. Isn't it fun just to open your Bible? Isn't it great just to hold something in your hand that's not a phone? Verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Why is Paul praying for this church at Colossae? That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, that's what we should be striving and longing for. To be filled with the knowledge and wisdom. All right, okay. Now, I want to keep that open. I want to define a few words here so you actually get what this is talking about. That word filled, it means to bring to completion. It doesn't just mean to fill like you would fill a glass. It means to bring to completion. What are you going to bring to completion? Your knowledge. What? That knowledge is an understanding of someone through personal acquaintance. Okay? So Paul is praying that they're... they be filled with an understanding of God, their personal acquaintance with God, and then in wisdom. That word wisdom, of course, is to utilize knowledge with common sense. Take what you know, apply common sense. Now, I realize that in our society today, we don't spend a lot of time on the subject of common sense, but it still exists. Right? So that you're filled with understanding of God, so that you know how to deal with God. That's the wisdom in how to... It's like this. When Beth and I were married, I liked her a lot. And I loved her as best I could. You mean, preacher, you weren't head over heels? Well, yes, but at that point in life, I didn't know how to love her. I didn't know how, because I did not know her. I mean, I've always loved her, but when we first got married, I had to learn to love her. All right? And that's what married couples do. We learn how to love one another. First few years of our marriage, we spent getting to know or filling our knowledge, understanding of one another. I used to do things that would set her off. Men, you know what I'm talking about? Give me an amen. I'd do things just to set her off. But then she would get mad. And when she got mad, ultimately I was going to wind up getting mad. Then we both were unhappy. After a few years, I learned, I don't have to live in a war zone. I have to know this woman. Now, 40 years later, this year will be 40 years for us. 40 years later, you know what? I mean, every once in a while we'll have a little fuss, okay? But my home's pretty peaceful right now. Why? Because I have learned her through the years. And I know those things that set her off, and I don't do those things. There's the common sense. You know, I have to ask myself, is this worth it? The answer is usually no. But she's done the same for me. She's learned the things that set me off. And so now, you know, we just interact with one another in love and caring and devotion. And quite honestly, I wouldn't trade with anyone in the world. It's all because God gave us that time to build the relationship and to understand one another and to apply wisdom. Listen, I said relationships are a process. It applies with God and you, right? The more you know about God, the more you will learn how to love Him. I look back when I was first saved. Guys, I didn't have a clue. All I knew is that I was a sinner bound for hell and that Jesus died for me. And so I gave Him my life. But through the years, our relationship has grown. And you know, the more our relationship has grown, the more I want from God. And I'm not talking about I want money or cars or houses or all those things that so many pray about. That's not what I want. I just want God. I just want to know God and to experience God. Look in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Told you we were going to use the Bible. Keep her open. But Exodus chapter 33, we see a man called Moses. And Moses was daily dealing with God. And verse 11, isn't it fun to open your Bible and not depend on a preacher putting something up there? Verse 11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. I want to read that one more time. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. This is the relationship that God wants to have with you. Oh, no, brother. You know, brother, I mean, that was Moses. Yes. So what? Guess what? Moses was a man. He was a man that God had chosen for a specific purpose. Abraham. Oh, let's roll in the Bibles again. James chapter 22 and verse 23. James chapter 2 and verse 23. Look at this. We meet Abraham. I guess we could have stayed over in the book of Genesis to meet Abraham, but we meet him in the New Testament. It says in verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a what? A friend of God. A friend of God. Now that means something. Let me ask you, let's be honest. Do you feel like you're a friend of God right now? Does God talk to you like a man talks to his friend? Well, Brother Doug, that's Old Testament, guys. And, you know, it doesn't really apply today. Oh, yes, it does. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. I know I'm wearing you out. Hang in with me, okay? It's better than Bible drills here. This is what God wants with you, wants for you, and wants in you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Do you see the relationship that God is shooting for with you? Do you understand that this was Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, that they know God like this, that they understand God. And this is the relationship, my friends, that we should long for with God. I'm not talking about some emotional high and running around. No, I'm talking about being a friend to God, where when you pray, you know that you have spoken to God and that He has spoken to you. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be known as a friend of God? Don't you want to have that relationship? You see, you've got to understand the life-changing opportunity that's been set before us. Okay? Today, all we're going to do is deal with desire. I want you to truly examine your desire and talk about it with God. Deal with it with God. Tonight, I'm going to give you something very important that will foster and help this relationship between you and God to grow. But today, I just want you to be honest with God about what you truly want from Him. Okay? And to understand that this is the opportunity of a lifetime. Well, Brother Doug, what are you talking about? Well, back to our text, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Did you get it? Let me read that to you again. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Do you know why Jesus is there? He's there. Romans 8:34. Romans 8:34. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes, here's the key, intercession for us. Here's the picture. Okay? The picture is Jesus seated at the right hand of God, in the throne room of God, where when God speaks, there's lightnings and thunderings, according to the book of Revelation, where there's such beauty and majesty that you can't imagine. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, and He's there to be your intercessor. Literally, to be your representative in the throne room of God before the Holy Father. He's there. Ready to take, and get this, He's there ready to take your request before God. What are you going to ask for? Has somebody ever asked you to do something you didn't want to do? You know, you say, why are you asking? You look at them, you're like, no, I don't want to do that. You ever pray a prayer that you're trying to ask Jesus to take something before God that you really don't need? What do you need? I'll tell you. You don't need new cars, new houses. You don't need more free time. You don't need all the things that we think we need. We need a relationship with God. That's what we need. A real relationship. And that's what this study is going to be about. A real relationship. You see, what we really need, where it says, seek those things which are above, we're talking about things like faith. Do you know why people drop out of church? It's a crisis in their faith. Do you know why people fall away from God? It's faith crisis. Do you know why I sin? Faith crisis. Quit asking God for junk and start asking Him for things that matter, like faith, love. Did you ever ask God, help me to love? Lord, just help me to love. I mean, let's face it, without some divine intervention, you just can't love some folk. That's the truth. Kind of funny, but it's the truth. Right? But I think back to that Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well. And, you know, and she'd been married 5 times and all that was going wrong in her life. You know what she needed? She needed somebody to show her a little love. Genuine caring. That's the kind of love that we need. To be able to share that love that we have received from Jesus Christ. Again, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He's there to take your request, to represent you before God the Father. What are you going to ask Him for today? We're going to stop right here. I'm going to tell you this. We're going to continue this tonight. If you want to know how to grow in your relationship with Christ, be here tonight. Okay? You've got a choice tonight. You can stay home. You can watch NFL football. If that's what you spiritually need, you have at it. All right? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I'll be here. And I'll be here to feed you. And to give you something that will help you in this growth. I won't preach all night, and I won't keep you all night, okay? But I'll give you something that'll help you. But you've got to desire it. Starts with your desire. We're going to stop right here, and we're going to take some time. Dale's going to lead us in worship. And we're not going to worship with a bunch of band and all that. It's just going to be Dale and you and God. And I would invite you to worship because God is God, not because of anything else. And while you're worshiping, let me share this. While you're worshiping, if God is dealing with you, these 3 songs or 2 songs are going to be the invitation. The altar's open. Altar's open. The request line is open. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. If you have a need, come to the altar. If you're here and you need to make a commitment such as church membership or rededication or you need to come for baptism, whatever it is, our staff is church staff is going to be on these front rows. Okay? And we're here to help you. And if you need somebody to pray with you, our church staff is going to be on the front rows. Just grab them and say, I need you to pray with me. Okay? But my closing challenge today is very simply to desire God.